You're listening to the Just Okay Show. I almost let it slip. I almost said Just Okay Gamers. But this is a different show. This is a show where you get to be the co-host. At least that's the kind of thing that we're trying to do. My name's Patrick, or Guido, whatever you prefer. And on this show, there's a strict open door policy. Anyone can come in. Anyone can leave. Anyone could probably just stand in the doorway, too, if you really wanted to. Block everyone else's entrance. Wouldn't be the wisest thing. It wouldn't be nice. We're all about being nice on this show. We're just okay, and this is a show. It's the Just Okay Show. Of course, again, the door has already opened. And I am joined by the one and only Biggie Size 89, a.k.a. Russell.
Hey.
Good to have you on, buddy.
Oh, hey, man. Happy to be here. I gotta say, standing in the doorway is probably the coolest place to stand. Wouldn't you agree?
It's very cool when you do it for about a 10 Mississippi.
You know?
You treat it like a portal to a new place. You stand in the doorway, you observe your new surroundings, you take it all in, you let everyone see you stand in that area, basically announcing your presence, and then you proceed to enter the room. I think that's the way that you should do it.
Right. It's especially cool if the person doesn't know you're there. And you just kind of like lean up against it. You're right. Give it a good like two or three Mississippi and then just start talking. If you stand there for too long, it gets a little creepy, especially if it's a lady.
What do you mean? If a lady does that?
Oh, I guess if you're coming into a room and a lady doesn't know you're there staring at her, you know, from the doorway.
Are you imagining a room where there's just a woman in it and you're standing in the doorway and she has no idea that you're entering that room?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the way, you know, I like the inner room, especially if it's just a lady in there. She has no way of getting out, you know, lean up against the door and just stare at her until she notices me.
All right. That's how you've been doing it these years, huh? Is that how you met your wife?
It is. Exactly. I just stood there in the doorway. She didn't know I was there. A solid 4 hours. I just stood there. Until finally, you know, she was like, "Oh, hey, what are you doing here?"
And I was
like,
"Was she sleeping?"
She was. I got into her apartment one night. I wasn't invited and just stood there in the doorway.
All right. What a turn.
Yeah.
It did works. She know you?
No, she did not. We had never met before. So
now you're married.
Now I'm married. It works, guys. If you're having issues finding a lady, all you got to do is get into their house and just lean up against their doorway. Don't you say a goddamn word. You just stare at them and let them talk first.
How did you like follow her home? Is that how you found her?
I just picked a random house and I was like, well, you know, odds in favor. There's more men than women that I'm going to find someone in there of the opposite sex.
You ever go into a grocery store and see someone and you just follow them around the grocery store?
All the time.
Yeah?
All the time. I follow them. I, you know, just like to see what they're doing, what they're about.
Yeah. You know? It's a fun little pastime to just follow people around and see if they ever notice you. No one ever does.
Never. Yeah, that is very true. In the grocery store especially, like you can follow someone around for a long time and they should probably never notice you.
Right. Anyways, if you want to come on this show, you're welcome to. Just hop in this Discord, discord.gg/justokay, and, you know, add yourself to that podcast role in the role assignment channel, and you'll get all the updates when we're recording and whatnot. And you just come in the recording channel, and you request to speak, and we let you come on and talk if you want, or you can just listen live. There's not much difference between live and what gets published. I haven't had to cut much out. So yeah. We got that going for us.
Absolutely. Like topics just kind of range from anything. Like I'd say, even if you come into here, there's a neat little chat box. You want to talk about something, just post it in there. And if we're like, yeah, we'll bring you in. Let's chat about it.
Yep. That's how it's going to work for now. just have something to talk about. That's all I ask. But at this point, I'd take someone who doesn't have anything to talk about.
Just come talk to us, please, for God's sakes.
No, I think we can hold our own here on a show with just Biggie and Guido. We've done it many times before. Many times.
Oh my God. Like nearly 80 episodes of the Just Okay Movie Show, where we really went in not ready to talk about anything. We always find something. And that's what makes hanging sessions so much fun. There's always something to talk about. Jesus.
I gotta say, welcome to the audience that we have in South Africa. Hello, South Africans.
I really want to hear what they got to talk about. One person from South Africa, please come on here.
There's a large amount of people that from South Africa that are downloading this podcast. I've seen the statistics. It's oddly a large amount. And I imagine that they're bots, right?
No, they're all real people. I like to believe that. For our own gratification, every person is real. Something about just okay, I guess they just love it.
Look, if you're a real South African and you're listening to this show, please just hop on the Discord. You don't even have to come to the live show or talk or anything. Just come on the Discord and say, hey, at least I am real, so that I know that you're a real person, and I can just chalk those up to being real listeners, because right now I'm pretty convinced that you're a bot. And I gotta say, when this show started and when I had my YouTube channel, whenever I interacted with people through text, whether it be YouTube comments or, I don't know, at that time I was getting tweets and emails or whatever it was, I just assumed everyone was a bot. It was easier to do that, to not put a name or a face or a consciousness behind a person that I'm speaking to, because there were a lot of them. And I think I even said that at the first con, where before I meet you in person, you're all just bots. And that's how I approach this whole thing.
I guess it's so true, you know, with, you know, how bots, especially nowadays, getting that data, scanning through it, now audio logs and websites, you know, to try to build these, you know, very sophisticated, what would you call them, algorithms for bots to be able to act more human. Yeah, I guess it does make a lot of sense, but it's also just kind of amazing that coming from like South Africa, like why there? You know, America would make a lot of sense, you know, places in Europe, but South Africa, like that's just so random.
It is random, but I don't know, maybe, past couple episodes, we had some search engine optimization that really hit well in South Africa, and a lot of South Africans are giving us a shot.
What if it's just a tribe, just some remote tribe out in South Africa, out in the Sahara somewhere? And like,
I think South Africans are pretty civilized, Biggie. I think it's not tribal in South Africa.
See, in my brain, I just think of like this, you know, out in the wilderness, they got some huts up. They only have one computer. It can only access one RSS feed, and it just so happens to be this one. Like, the rest of the internet does not exist, so this is their outlet to, like, the world. Like, yeah, what do you want to tell them?
They're learning about civilization through this podcast?
Through just this podcast. So, that's, like, almost over 280 episodes of, if you count all the Just Okay Gamers up to now, like that is their view of the world outside of their hut village.
Oh my God. They're messed up. They're having a rough go at it, I think. That's the perception. I wouldn't want that responsibility, in all seriousness, to be the guy that, you know, when an alien comes down and they're like, you know, let me speak to one of your representatives, I would hate to be that representative.
You know, I'm so happy you said that because I had actually written a question down. Whenever I think of like any topic to talk about, I just write it down in a random OneNote. And one of them I had was, if an alien race came down from outer space, which Just Okay Gamers, guest in quotation marks, would you want them to meet?
Oh, wow. Oh,
I have one.
Yeah. Who is it?
Well, It would be between your brother or Vincent.
Oh, wow. You want him to meet the sleazeballs.
I never thought of Vincent being a sleazeball. He's just a guy who has a different way of approaching video games in a very two-faced kind of manner. I always liked that character.
Okay, for anyone that doesn't recall who those people are, my brother, his name is Libido, and he's a strip club DJ who is a sleazeball. There's no question about that. Very into drugs of the powder variety and, exploiting young women who need money. Not a good guy. We don't get along. And then Vincent was a game developer who made edutainment games that would help kids learn math skills and reading skills. And then after they played it so long, I believe that the game would change and shift gears to some sort of sexual game where by his prompting, the father, or as he would say, daddy, would then come and play the game. So these are the two people that Biggie would like to represent the human race when an alien comes.
Oh, my God. What do you think the first thing Libido would say if faced with an alien? Just saying, hello, we're aliens from this planet. Please let us know what you want to tell us about your planet and its libido. What would be the first thing he would say?
Well, I think he'd want to try and get some money out of them. I mean, that's his whole thing. He'd probably showcase some young women with precarious names and tell them that these are the best specimens that he could find to give them all their earthly desires. And try and swindle them out of any sort of alien bucks that they may have.
Ooh, yes, you're right. So he would be bringing to whatever club he's working in at the moment, probably DJing, and probably show them a good time, want to get them liquored up and happy, but then go towards the angle of, okay, so how can I use this to make my club bigger and in turn get ladies even better into there?
Mm-hmm.
So very much a business angle.
Yes, yeah. I want to utilize them for his own personal gain. Just not a great guy, that my brother. Ugh. Well, I'll have to track him down one of these times. Maybe we'll get him on one of these episodes. I think he's doing a tour right now with a couple, B-list. I don't even know if you can call them B-list porn stars. How low isn't a porn star already pretty D-list celebrity? What would a B-list porn star be? A good M-list?
would you even count like a D-list? Would that be like an OnlyFans lady who just happens to have a big rack and then, but it's like, well, I've got these big cans already. Might as well get on OnlyFans and, make some money off of them.
Yeah, that's probably, although now with the way the internet's going, I think that porn is OnlyFans. I think the celebrities are OnlyFans. The A-listers are the top OnlyFans people, right?
Oh, that's a good point.
Who are the porn stars anymore? And are they just, they're just only, they also have OnlyFans.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. Like, if I was thinking, like, just when I was, you know, a young, you know, biggie trying to find ways of, you know, staying out of trouble, trying to stay busy, you know, well, I would say, you know, A-list, I would think like Jeanna Michaels, you know, definitely someone who pops in mind. And I guess it also depends on kind of what you're going for. You know, for me, it's ladies with big cans and, you know, and kind of just go at it. Like, all right, that's someone who always popped up all the time. It's like getting some support here from the crowd. And, but you're right. You know, nowadays I feel like, you know, when I have ventured into, you know, the porn hubs of the world, it's a lot of like user made content. I just don't see those names. And I'm like, you see people like up on the front page, like, I don't know who any of these people are. And I don't see a lot of, you know, one name being plastered around quite a bit. It's just like people sure. uploading their own stuff, or it's, you know, people doing recordings from OnlyFans and just throwing them up on Pornhub. So it is fascinating how much that's changed. And I guess maybe I kind of like it. I wonder if it's made the porn industry a little more honest, because that's always, I mean, even Pornhub by itself is a little shady, even at the best of times. When it comes to content. But I just wonder, like, the effect that's had on the industry itself, that we don't see those big names anymore. It's a lot of these, you know, people coming from Twitch who, you know, just happen to have, you know, an aspect that people really like. And, you know, then they kind of hawk their videos on OnlyFans.
Yeah, yeah. I could see it also just with the way that the world is now. Much in the same vein as there are no more action stars in movies, right? Just like there are no more porn stars.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the death of the porn star. They're all OnlyFans models now. Huh. If we were to time travel back, or even now, I could probably pull a list of porn stars that were popular in my 20s, you know? And, but now I couldn't name anyone that really shows their hoo-hoos and their ha-has for money on the internet. I don't sure. think I can name any of them. And now, I think that might be a good thing.
I guess. I mean, the only ones I can name now are Twitch streamers like, that Daphne girl. I know she's done some stuff and. I think Amorath, is that her name? The plastic tub girl, like she shows Amaranth.
She doesn't do like nudie stuff, does she?
She may not. I don't know. I think maybe she's maybe done some topless stuff. Maybe Chat can help us out here. Oh, apparently, from our good friend Ingi, he says she does. She does some stuff.
Well, there you go, plugging her. We're plugging her on this show. She needs all the help she can get.
Oh, yeah. She needs way more money from young little kids. They're like, first time they've ever seen a big cans. They're like, ooh, you know, give her a little $5 tip. But no, I think it's just, it's interesting. I guess it's, you know, kind of like how the, they talk about Times Square used to be a whole bunch of like peep shows and stuff. And I'm sure a lot of that changed when, you know, VHSs became so cheap. And now with the internet and now, shit, all you need is just a current iPhone and an okay mic, and you could make some incredible stuff. That's the case as well with porn. So I guess it's just that technology changing and constantly changing, and it'll just be neat to see in another 30 years how much it alters, which kind of brings me around to another topic that I found very interesting, and maybe it's getting a little too technical, you know. I know we try to keep things light and fun, but the new Apple Vision Pro headset is coming out next month.
That $3,000 headset.
$3,500. And I cannot believe this, but the battery pack can only last for 2.5 hours when watching something in 2D. Like, that's barely, like, you can get through Killers of the Flower Moon watching it on that thing before you'd have to charge back up. Like, that's just insane.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. There goes like using it on a flight. Although I don't know if I could bring myself to use a VR headset on a flight, even though it seems like it's probably one of the better places to do it.
Right.
You get some noise-canceling headphones. You toss on your immersive 3D goggles, and you sit down and watch a bunch of Amaranth streams.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the whole appeal of it, is to just immerse yourself. And, you know, I guess that, you know, laying around your couch at home, that's good. But, yeah, that's the place I always think as well, as going on a flight. You know, throwing that on, not having to deal with my tablet, you know, setting it in the correct position and trying to lean back and relax. You just put your head back, have your headset on, and you're good to go. But yeah, 2.5 hours, like, that's, there's no way that's going to work really well. And I know it's very much an enthusiast item, and I'm happy to see that, because I felt like we've lost that over the past, you know, 15 years or so, is that true, like, enthusiast level product from, like, a big name. And especially coming out to the public, Microsoft's done stuff for, like the military and big corporations. But a true, like, enthusiast level item coming from Apple is pretty awesome. But it's also just like, I'm not going to buy that. $3,500. I haven't even want to spend $400 on, you know, an Oculus. And I have way more appeal with that than I do this item. It's fascinating, you know, with this tech kind of moving into that direction of, you know, trying to get away from the desk, get into reality, even this AR where, you know, you're really incorporating your environment around you and then layering in that technology. Like, it's very exciting. I think there's so many cool ways we can use it. I just don't think a big headset walking around town or even sitting on a bus or on a plane, I just don't know if that appeal is going to happen because of that social isolation, I guess. It kind of brings attention to you when you're trying to, like, not have attention brought to you, especially when you can't see them doing it. Like, I don't know. It's very odd.
Yeah, I don't know who this is truly marketed towards. It's not, I mean, it's Apple, so it's not really gamers.
Right.
And I know during their keynote or whatever, when they unveiled it, they were really pushing a lot of, like, meetings and business professional kind of settings. Work from home was a big thing for it, where you can, you know, strap on your headset and have a virtual meeting with someone, and you're using emoji avatars. You know, you're like your Bitmoji guys are winking at each other and you're sharing the same space. But is that what you need? Is that what people want? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see in, like, a year or two what happens, because it's almost like they're trying to price themselves out of the market.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they want to make this product and make it big and hopefully maybe make a buck off of it. Because what does it cost to make that headset? That's the question. And to design it and research and develop it, and then to release it and sell. I imagine they'll sell a decent amount of units, but are they going to continue to support it? Are they going to drop down and make more affordable versions so that the general populace can kind of get involved in it? It just depends how much they're going to invest in this kind of technology and push it forward. But I can't see. I've had a headset. I've had a Quest. I've had two different generations of Quests. And it's a novelty for me, even with gaming. There's some cool games out there, but I'm not going to strap a headset on and play games for, you know, 4 hours at a time. It's just not for me, and it also seems like it's not for the general populace. So this move by Apple of making these headsets, it almost seems like it's just a little bit too late.
That's a good point. You see, for me, I think it's almost a little too early, but I like the point you bring up. For me, it definitely feels like a solution looking for a problem, especially when you're talking about, like, the avatar things that Microsoft are trying to do. Like, hey, you know, using your cam or just your voice, that's old. That's your grandpa's virtual meeting. Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of little avatars you can make, and they can bounce around and talk. And, like, I don't want my meetings to really be more interactive in that way. I kind of just want them to us to get what we need out and be done with it. Like, I want more ways to, you know, like when they start adding a lot, like drawing stuff on the screen or like using annotations and stuff like that. That was good stuff. It helped me prove my point. Me, you know, with, you know, eyes and a hat on that has my company logo and me moving my arms around crazy, I don't feel like that's going to help me prove my point. I just want the meeting to be over with. I don't want it to be entertaining per se, at least not in that way. And, you know, they also show like with the Apple Vision headset, like, you know, being able to type on the computer or watch a movie and, you know, it'd be like, you know, in an AR space in your home and, you know, move your head around and, you know, you're not having that screen follow you unless you just want it to. So basically a replacement for your TV. That's all cool, but you're right. It's still not $3,500 worth. And it's, you know, I can buy a really nice TV for that much money and I don't have to put a headset on to enjoy it. Also, it's kind of like with the whole, you know, 3D fad that keeps coming and going and right now is kind of gone. Is it's cool for a second. It's fun to do in a theater, but I don't really want to do it at home, which is why they never took off at home. It was just a gimmick in the theaters. And I look at like iPhone, you know, especially with, you know, touch screens becoming the new norm for technology and how that was, you know, it worked because, you know, you're just changing from using a scroll wheel or a mouse to just using your finger. So it's like an innovation to make it easier to interact with things when you're out and about. And I don't find putting a headset on making my life easier when I'm up and going around and doing things. So,
right. Yeah, it's I don't know. The one untapped part of headsets that I wish would get explored a bit more and I could actually see myself utilizing is for live events, for sporting events, for concerts. Like, why doesn't the NFL have a series of cameras that are set up in different points of the field, one like, you know, following overhead a bird's eye view on a cable, and then one sitting at the 50-yard line pointing down like a spectator would, one on the goalpost, you know, just all over, and then let a person strap on a headset and be able to flip through those cams and watch the football game. Like, it's right there at the cost of a couple of cameras and broadcasting it.
Right.
And then you sell that. That gets people to buy the headsets. Or, you know, the Taylor Swift people go and watch a Taylor Swift concert from the side of the stage, you know, and charge them $10 to watch a concert.
Agreed.
It's an untapped market. Untapped, agreed. I say.
Completely. Completely untapped. And I guess it's just a fear of having to add in that extra technology or whatever. But come on. I mean, the tech is so cheap nowadays. Cameras are just nothing. With like GoPros and companies like that coming out making these amazing devices that are so powerful. And even 360-degree cameras are nothing compared to where they were, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. You can do some incredible stuff. Yeah, I don't know. They're just lazy, I guess. I don't know. Even drones. Like, I feel like we still haven't, like, hit the pinnacle of what we can do with drones.
What do you want to do with a drone?
Oh, that, my God. That's a good question.
That can't already be done.
Well, I'm honestly surprised with, like, how long it's taken. Just not even, like, I know Walmart's pushing it really hard. Here in Texas, actually, they're starting to really expand their home deliveries. And granted, it's small stuff, but at least they're like pushing hard. But I'm thinking like convenience stores. Like my dream for like if you have like a big convenience store is to you know, you want to buy something, you just drop it in the drone and have it take it out to the gas pump wherever they're filling up, and you know, just pay for it that way and have it brought to you. And just stuff like that would just be really nice. Or like, you know, at like a pool or a water park, like just have food and stuff brought to you easily through a drone. You know, just simple stuff like that wouldn't be, I mean, it'll take some investing, but it could be very, very helpful. But
yeah, I mean, you have legs, Biggie. You can walk and go get that stuff.
No.
You want your fries delivered to you?
I want everything delivered to me.
You want your little Snickers bar at the gas pump? Come on, Biggie.
Absolutely. No, fuck going inside. And that's a true problem. That's a problem we had when I I was an accountant for a C-store chain, and that was a genuine problem, was trying to drive people into the store. And like with all this tech, like it's so easy now. I don't know why people aren't implementing it more, because that's where all your margin is buying that Snickers bar, or that Coca-Cola. It's not getting gas. You don't make hardly anything on gas. Usually you lose. And I think there's just so much interesting stuff to do there, and it's just not being utilized. And, you know, maybe it's on me, because I've been in those positions. I haven't implemented it. So really, I'm kind of blaming myself as well. But yeah, if I could, this is a dream here. I want you guys to think, let me know what you think. Rafting. You know, sitting your ass in a tube, going down the river. There's tons of companies that offer that service, or you just go out and do it yourself. Whatever you want to do. Have a drone bring you a six pack when you're like, I am thirsty as fuck and I need something to drink. They just fly you that six pack or that hamburger, hot dog, whatever you want, straight to your tube, because you got a little like blinking responder thing, so they know where you're at. Like, that would be so sick and so easy to implement.
It says you. What are you, a drone developer, an engineer? You're on a moving raft in the middle of a river, and they got to deliver you your hamburger? Biggie, just pack a cooler and tie it to your tube.
Oh, that's too much planning. I don't like that. I need it to be taken care of for me. I am the customer. I want it brought when I'm hungry. I may not even, I may want like some, okay.
No. Talk about creating, you're creating a solution for a problem that does not exist right now, Biggie.
Oh, but man, wouldn't it be so great if it did exist?
Yeah, it'd be cool to see a drone come and give you a hamburger. Seems like that's just what you want. You come over, I got a buddy with a drone. We could tie a hamburger to it and have it drop it in your mouth, and then you'd have be solid. You'd be great. You'd be living your fantasy.
That sounds great. Just ask him how much. Well, I got enough money. I'm down.
All right. There you go.
If all I had to do was just lay in a chair and a drone just dropped French fries in my fat fucking face, like that, I mean, that is truly the future. We could just stop there. We don't need any more innovation.
The more I know you, Biggie, the more it seems like you really sympathize with the future society that's depicted in the movie WALL-E.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly where we're going, man. It's all trending that way. And I love it. It's perfect.
I mean, it is. If you're in charge, yeah, that's the way it's going.
if I could sit in my chair, have my nice screen, and just be taken everywhere I need to go and have food just automatically delivered by a robot into my face. I mean, yeah, of course, that's everyone's dream. And if anyone says otherwise, you are a liar and I will fight you.
And then you can pop on your VR goggles, watch your Amaranth stream. You know, get your games delivered to you. Do your meetings on your VR goggles and your massage hovering body chair. That's also a drone. But, it, you know, you don't need to go anywhere because it has a bathroom installed on it. You can just poop your pants and, then, you know, the drones clean you up. It's the perfect Biggie life.
We are like 60% there, man. I just need that next 40, brother.
Huh. Yeah. I don't know. Once drones get into a more practical use, my job's kind of done for, huh? I work in parks and landscaping and taking care of things. If they could train like a drone or robots to cut grass and not have people get chopped up by them, then I'm done for.
Oh, no. They'll still need people to manage. You'll be the one just getting the reports. You'll look at the video and be like, oh, yeah, that place needs mowed really bad, or oh, those flowers look like shit. Send the drones out to handle it. You're in the perfect position. You're going to get to inherit all this technology, and they'll basically be your workers.
My slaves?
I was about to say that.
Not today, Biggie. Today of all days?
I had to search for a better word.
It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, for those who don't know.
Yeah, happy MLK, everyone.
Happy MLK. Had the day off.
Oh, nuts. What'd you do?
I had the kid over and we watched, we're big fans of Survivor in this household. The CBS show Survivor, which has been on for 20 odd years. They just wrapped up season 44, I think, or 45, or I don't know, something like that. And, we got a little behind, and over the past 2 days, we watched 7 episodes. And the finale is like 2 hours long, so we watched a good 8 hours of Survivor.
Whoa, holy.
Yep, we were fully invested. Although we started to scrub through some episodes this season, if there's any Survivor fans, they'll understand this season wasn't that great. Kind of a lame duck of a cast. Not a lot of big moves or anything. But, yeah, we had to get through it, and we watched a lot of Survivor. And it's been a I wouldn't say a dream. It's been a thought of mine of trying to get on that show. And I'm getting closer to doing it, to filling out the application and making the video. What do you think I should do for my application video, my biggie? You know, you send a little 4-minute video about who you are. What should I do to sway the Survivor casting people that I belong on the show and that I will compete with all my heart?
Oh, my goodness. So you only have 4 minutes to work with. So do they usually do, like, some, like, feat of strength or some, like, stunt to try to draw them in? Or is it usually just, like, you just talking about your life and struggles you face and adversity and then how you would just bring that to the show?
Yeah, I think you get a little bit of a sob story in there. You try to. It's not so much here I can, you know, put my legs over my head and slap my butt to the beat of Eye of the Tiger. It's not so much a talent show. It's more just a showcase of your personality than anything.
I think what you explained there was perfect. Just slap your ass to Eye of the Tiger. And
I could give it a try. I've never done it before. I honestly don't think I could get my legs over my head.
Really? I thought you really could. I mean, you've been working out, so you're in like peak physical condition. I think you give it a shot. Fire up that camera, see what happens.
All right, here we go.
For
those of you looking right now or not listening, which is the most of you, hi, South Africa, I have my foot in my hand, and I will attempt at this point to put it over my head. Just one would be a success in my book. And here goes. I'm lifting my foot.
All right. And, he's lifting his foot up.
This is about as far as I can go.
You know, oh, you're almost there. He's inches away. Oh, my God. Just a little bit more.
That's it. I can't do it.
Well, there you go. Hey, you've got the rest of 2024 to practice that, to get that leg over that head. Then you just got to get the Eye of the Tiger slapping down.
Yeah. How am I going to hit record on my camera? I'll have to get in that position or do a lot of editing for this video.
No editing. You've got to send them the whole thing. You got to do it in 4 minutes.
Oh, geez. They're going to get about 12 seconds of Eye of the Tiger. Get a good 3.5 minutes of me setting up and getting in position. That'll get me on it.
Oh, yeah. I think that would definitely, it would get my attention. I'm sure no one's done that yet. And then out of 44 seasons, that would be an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
So have they done like a Survivor, like father-daughter edition?
They had like a blood is thicker than one. They had mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, teams, doubled teams in previous seasons. Yeah.
Interesting. Cause I'm curious. You guys, you and your daughter, you just sit and kind of game plan on like judge like what they do. You're like, this is actually what we would do in that situation. Just kind of like shop talk it.
Yeah, that's the whole fun of watching Survivor. Like, why did that guy do that? Or I would have done that differently. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how well I would do. I think I could be pretty conniving. I could be pretty manipulative if I wanted to. I could lie, and I could come across as genuine. I've been doing it my whole life.
No, I think you would be very entertaining on there because you're right. Like your personality, you know, you're able to play a character if you need to and do it without, I mean, even anytime we were on the pod, I always wondered like, does he really mean that? I'm not sure if he's playing a character or not. He may be lying to my face. I have no idea. I've just gone to roll with it. But, you know, you could definitely also be very, very genuine. So I just think you've got the whole package there to be crazy entertaining on TV.
The one bit I would love to do, and this is my Survivor bit. This is my pitch. I go on the show, and from the day that they put me on the plane, I pick an accent. It could be Russian. It could be Irish. It could be Asian. I pick an accent, and I stick to that accent for the whole thing. And either the second I'm getting voted off, or the second they're revealing my name as the winner, I drop the accent and I come out with my normal talking voice, which is this. And I think that reveal would be pretty fun.
That really would be. What do you think your strongest accent is that you could pull off for how many weeks is it?
They're only down to like 30 days or something now. It's not that long.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, for a full accent on top of having to do like strenuous stuff and, you know, have conversations, that would be a challenge to keep like a convincing accent. Which one would you think you could do easily for 30 days nonstop?
Well, I think if I were to go on, I would say, hey, everybody, my name's Russell and I'm here to play Survivor. Oh, do you guys need some fishies for your bellies? Well, I'll get them for you. I'll go out there and get you some fishies for your bellies. Just don't expect a drone to drop them off. Oh, I wish. I want to buy a minivan. My name's Russell.
Megan was giving me so much shit after that pod. She's like, what did they say about like, oh, yeah, they were like, bad idea. And they're like, I've told you, Russell, I've told you it's creepy and no one likes it. I didn't know I was going to be on Survivor. Wow.
Yeah, that's the voice I'd do. Actually, I think you would be a good person on Survivor.
Really?
Yeah, you're very, very genuine and you're very, very nice and you're very, very, like, no one dislikes you. So even with that, with the social amount of game you would have, you would do well. You'd go far. I think you'd just have a little bit of trouble fibbing to people.
Yes. That's my biggest problem. Like any games we would play, whether it be like Among Us or the, was it Secret Hitler or something that we played at Con, like anything that requires lying, I'm so, because I feel so guilty that I'm like, even if it's just in fun, like having to go and lie to someone's face, because in my mind, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to say something dumb or mean and they're going to hate me after this game. And I hate doing that. So anything that requires me to lie is so tough. But I am very competitive, and I love especially team-oriented games. So I think it would be a lot of fun to do, just a cool experience. But yeah, if it came down to having to lie to someone or the win, I'm easily the worst teammate someone could have.
Well, yeah. So I'm getting my passport renewed. I think I'm going to fill out the application, make a video, and
good.
You know, I might need some campaigning from this audience to try and get me on there. South Africans, you know, to write Jeff Probst and let him know that I want to be on the show.
There you go. Everyone's got their homework.
Speaking of passport, I just renewed my passport because the lady and I want to go on a vacation. And there's been some talk about what we should do for this vacation. And there's a few different camps, not so much between us, but from people. I see general vacation camps, especially when it comes to couples. There's the camp that says go all-inclusive. You go down to the Caribbean or somewhere nice with a beach. You hop in a resort. You get all your food taken care of. You don't have to think of a thing. You get all your beverages taken care of. You sit at a pool, maybe go snorkeling one day. And you just have a nice relaxing time where you have no responsibilities. You don't have to think about a thing. There's that camp, right? I'd say cruises are kind of in there. You get a little bit more variety with your little excursions and whatnot. But it's still generally you don't have to think about. You're stuck on a boat for the majority of the time. But then there's the full other camp that say, no, you got to go immerse yourself in the culture. You got to go to this place. You got to eat with the locals. You got to stay at a bed and breakfast and then switch hotels a few times. You travel around the countryside. You have an itinerary. You go see landmarks. And I think as I get older, there's those two camps become much more ingrained. They dig their feet in as to how to vacation. And right now we've decided what we're going to do, but and actually there wasn't much talk. And I just want to see what your take is or what anyone else's take would be on how to vacation as you get older. What appeals to those people out there? What appeals to you, Biggie?
Oh, man, and that is such a good question. I feel like that is like a milestone in someone's relationship when they can like confidently say, you know, this is the best vacation situation for us. Like maybe no one would work, not to say that we wouldn't do something different, but like this is what works best for both of us. And I agree. Like I feel like if you've got someone who, and I guess it also depends on the tone of the vacation. You know, there's this, you know, the sexy vacation, you know, where you're planning on going and you're not planning on spending much time outside of the room, brother. You know, mm-hmm. and in that case, you know, you may want something that's a little more stay in one place, not having to move around a lot. And that's where I think the all-inclusive or even the cruise vacations work really well, especially the cruise ones. You know, you just got to make sure you're back on the boat at the certain time, but you can be, you know, go around the Caribbean, go around Europe, Asia, you can go to Antarctica or wherever you want to go, depending on just how adventurous you want to be, but you still have that nice place you can go back to and cuddle up and hang, and it's easy. Or, you know, I agree. Like, I think if the relationship is a bit more, you like problem solving, you like seeing brand new things a lot, don't mind getting your hands dirty and, you know, doing research and stuff, then yeah, the travel ones really are great where you just, you know, you stop in one city and then you move to another one, pick up all your stuff and travel. Yeah. You know, I think for me, I've got to say, I really do think the cruise is the best of both worlds. You know, I get kind of bored, you know, it staying in one spot, especially if we're talking like a week. You know, an all-inclusive like resort, I feel like we just get kind of, I get kind of burnt out. But that's me. I kind of like to sit somewhere, kind of get comfortable, but then I'm ready to move around again. And so definitely cruise and just doing the kind of the progressive vacationing around is kind of my bag. But Megan's opposite. Like we could go to a resort and she could hang out on the beach for like a month and be completely satisfied. And I can't. After about 3 days, I start getting antsy. And
yeah.
I'm also just not a big beach person. I don't know. Sure. I wish I was.
Yeah, you could find other... What about pools? You like a pool?
Not really. I'm not a big water person. Like swimming and stuff. Like, I like water parks okay. And still, that's the case because you can kind of, you know, walk around, go to different little rides and stuff, and then you leave.
Sure.
I don't know. I've always been that way where staying on vacation, if it's outside of my home, staying somewhere for like more than like 3 or 4 days, I just get antsy.
I can't do a cruise. A cruise does not appeal to me. It's something about being on that giant boat with all those people, all those cruise people, which probably aren't much different than resort people, but cruise people.
Yeah, I agree. There's a breed.
There is a breed of cruise people. And just being stuck on that boat with them and seeing the same people over and over going to the, you know, and then I'm sure you get on the same schedule as a couple people and you're running into them. Everyone's going to watch the, you know, the guy that couldn't make it on the mainland as a lounge singer. So they'll go on a cruise for the comedians or whatever. Cruises are just, maybe later in my life it'll appeal to me a bit more, but right now, something about it, it just makes me feel like I'm giving up, Biggie.
Yeah, I can agree with that. So I'm taking it you guys are doing the kind of jumping around
We're gonna do an all-inclusive. I'm all for an all-inclusive.
Okay. Nice.
I like an all-inclusive.
What's the destination?
We don't know. Somewhere in the Caribbean.
Nice.
But the kind of rule I'm setting for myself is I think a fair shake, I would like a nice exploration, you know, go to another city in a faraway land and go explore and, you know, find the landmarks and the monuments and be tourists of that area. I like that idea, but I think there needs to be a ratio of relaxation to those. And I think that ratio is 2-1. I think you need two nice resort vacations, relaxing, you know, even getting an Airbnb on a beach or in a mountaintop somewhere for a couple of days. I think there needs to be two of those for every one of those bustling itinerary, running around the city, trying things, having a timeline where you got to be places, vacations.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely. Because you're on vacation ultimately. And, you know, you need to have those times to just sit, not worry about being anywhere at any time other than when you got to show up to put food in your mouth. And that's it. About the little lady? What's her take on vacations?
She likes the idea right now of it's just been so busy and hectic in life and everything. She wants no responsibility. She wants no one to look after. Just, you know, wake up, you go get food shoveled into your mouth. You're entertained. Some person comes and does a hula dance in front of you. You clap at them and then you go into the pool. And then you go get a massage, and then you go stuff your face again, and then have a bunch of booze. I think that's what she's wanting right now. But maybe once she experiences that, it'll change, and she would want something more, you know, exciting. And that's also the part of fun part of a relationship, and especially a newer one like ours, is getting to witness each other in those different situations, in those different, you know, settings and how they react. Right. So, yeah, but I think for now, right now, this next one is definitely going to be a relaxation one.
That is one thing that's so cool about, you know, being in a relationship, especially getting to that point where you're, you know, wanting to kind of travel around and experience, you know, other cultures, as you said, other situations with someone else that, you know, you're still learning, like even with Megan and I, like when we were first dating, like it's probably the most excited I'd ever been to go on a trip. It's just to be with her and be like, oh, let's go check out this place together and this, you know, outside of our norm and, you know, learn about how we like to experience stuff. And it was one of the first times, big places we went was Disney World for New Year's. And Disney World at New Year's is insane. All the stories you hear about is, And this was about the end of our trip, and I was getting like claustrophobic. Like you could not go anywhere in that park without bumping into someone, being like an inch or two away from you. And I was about to lose it. And you couldn't leave either because you couldn't get back in. It was already like 6 o'clock. So we had, you know, six hours to go until the fireworks went off. And she was so sweet. She was just like, we can leave. We can go get a hotel room. Because we'd actually went ahead and canceled our hotel room because we were going to then get on a plane at 5 a.m. to go back home because we're both broke. And it was one of those moments where I was like, wow, like I'm being not the best I could be right now. I'm just losing it. And she's willing to, you know, do whatever she can to help me. And it was just such a really great moment. I learned that, you know, we could tackle any trip we wanted to because we're going to both be there for each other. So, you know, it's just one of those really cool things you learn and that you just wouldn't really learn, you know, back in your, you know, your normal routine. And so I recommend it, you know, definitely, you know, once you find someone that you enjoy being with and don't mind maybe getting into a, maybe an uncomfortable situation when you're out abroad, you know, go on a trip with your significant other and, you know, see how you work. You may learn something really interesting about them and maybe even yourself.
There you go. There you have it, everybody. Biggie's relationship advice. Go on a trip.
Have some fun. Get drunk. Make some mistakes. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've got one little beef I got to bring with you, man. I was scrolling around letterbox.com. You know, everyone, please join letterbox.com and share your usernames with us. We love tracking everyone's movies they're watching. It's so much fun. So please do it. You watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood again, gave it 4 stars and said it got better and better every time you watched it. I find that to be so hard to believe because the first time I watched it, it was fucking garbage. But what keeps speaking to you in that movie? I just don't understand.
It's a fair ask. I watched it with the girlfriend and she hated it. She said it might be one of the worst movies she's ever seen. So she's in there.
Oh, I love her. Thank God. She needs to get on here and we need to talk about that. Cause I really, even Inge, bless your heart, Inge, I love you to death, but I don't understand. He loves this movie too. And everyone loves it. I think she may be the first person I've heard who doesn't. Well, what's the draw?
The draw is that it makes me nostalgic for a time that I wasn't a part of. And I like that a movie does that and makes me feel that feeling. Everything about that time, it makes me nostalgic. You know, the whole cult subplot and everything. Just as I've been going on this movie journey over the past decade or whatever and immersing myself in all these movies, it's cool to see that take on it, like of this working actor that's, you know, coming to terms with getting old and not filling the roles that he was, especially in that time period where that's what mattered. You know, there wasn't that post career swing upwards until much later on in Hollywood. It was kind of like leading men came and then they started out great and then they fell, you know?
Right.
And it's cool to see that part of it. I love the camaraderie between the stuntman and the leading man. That also made me jealous of having a man brotherly kind of camaraderie with someone. The stories it told were great. The performances were great. With the exception of one or two.
I agree.
And the whole Sharon Tate, the way that he built her up into this innocent, pure, beautiful being. And the whole time I saw it the first time, I'm like, I was like everyone else, like, oh, she's going to die. She, you know, and I see what he's doing. He's painting her like this angel that's going to get sacrificed at the end of the movie. And the swing at the end, spoiler, where it doesn't happen. And it's so cathartic to watch those horrible people get the shit beat out of them and chewed out of and die and burnt and, you know, smashed up. It's a fun, cathartic feeling. The girlfriend hated that part, couldn't watch it.
Really?
Yeah. And then, you know, just took homage with, or just had issue with, you know, why does he have a flamethrower just at the ready? And it's like, no, it's because that's what they deserve. That's what they deserve to get torched up. And, I appreciate the shots, there's a lot of it. The first time I saw it, I was like, all right, you could cut a lot of this. You can cut the driving around, the looking at the scenes. There's a lot. But as I watched, you just kind of sit. You allow yourself to sit in it and try and see what he was giving to you. And I think what he was giving to you was putting you in that time. And I could allow myself to sit and not look at my watch, but to be in it. And that's what I think I do every time I've seen it, at least every sequential time that I've seen it. I think I've seen it 3 times now. That was my 3rd or 4th, wow, actually.
Goodness.
But yeah, man, does that help?
I wish I had those feelings. It does. I mean, the way you describe it, I'm like, wow, man, you're right. And the little bits and pieces I remember, I'm like, wow, yeah, that is kind of magical. Like, you explained it so well. I wish you made the movie. I think I would have liked it a lot more other than that pretentious Quentin Tarantino, which I like Quentin Tarantino. I just, I don't know. Like, I mean, the hate for Leonardo aside, you know, I really did think Brad Pitt was excellent in the movie, even though I felt like he didn't really have to try with his character. He felt like his character and not just, you know, Brad Pitt act like kind of a tough guy with, you know, a softish side and all that, which he could do easily. He's a great actor. No doubt the scenery, although I agree with the car. I think the very first long take of them driving around was just, it was too much. Like, come on, we need to get moving a little bit. Give me something to care about other than just people in a car driving. But no, I'm happy that brings a lot of pleasure. I just love shitting on movies a lot, and especially when it has Leo in them. But, you know, it really does warm my heart to hear you explain it in such loving detail. Even maybe softens my take on it just a little bit. I think I gave it 3 stars, which, I mean, really isn't that bad. Especially, I think it's just for me, it's a lower level Quentin Tarantino film, because we've seen him do some pretty amazing stuff in the writer's room and behind the camera. But no, that's really cool. I will say, for him, I'm so bummed we'll probably never see his take on Star Trek, because it really seemed like it was going to happen. An R-rated Star Trek film by him, penning it and directing it, but I guess we'll never have that.
Yeah, you never know. It might still happen. It could. He said that he's going to make his next film, and then, you know, he's not going to fully retire, but if something comes to him, he might, or maybe he doesn't consider working on an already existing IP, you know, his next film or his final film. Maybe that's just something that he'll do. Who knows, man? Dude's pretty young. Yeah. Still, and has a lot of stuff left in him.
Right. What is he? Is 50s? Or is he younger than that?
I don't know, man. He's probably got to be in his late 50s.
I would imagine. Yeah. I mean, look at. I'm shocked that Scorsese is still even talking about another film, possibly. It's just pretty incredible. But you know, that's just, you know, he has the talent, and I'd love to see him take on, especially something that's an existing IP, to really take on a challenge of, you know, especially something like Star Trek. That's very much, you know, they've tried their hardest to bring it back around, but it's still nowhere near its, you know, late 90s height, and especially in the creativity department and acting and all of that. So I don't know, maybe we'll see that. That would be pretty cool. Have you watched anything else? Got any? I did want to ask you something. Have you seen that piece of shit Maestro?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. Like, my God.
What's new, Biggie? Man. Biggie doesn't like a movie. I guess that's everybody. Did anyone have this? Is the free space on the bingo card? All right. Good luck, everybody.
You know, he is so hungry for an Oscar. It's crazy. Like, I know he directed this movie. I think he also helped write it, and he stars in it. And, you know, it's still one of those Netflix movies where, you know, the stills and stuff all look great. Kind of like the, what was the movie based on the real Citizen Kane, about them writing Citizen Kane? I can't remember what it was called.
Mank?
Mank, that's it. You know, that same style, all that had the same feeling, almost like it was just a template. They just took that template out. They're like, all right, we're going to apply it to this, you know, big Hollywood legend. It's just, it just didn't feel good. It felt kind of gross. The whole thing just felt gross. It felt like watching your grandpa play a character he really liked. And you know, did good, but still it didn't feel like it was from the heart, you know? And that's just disappointing, because Bradley Cooper is not a bad actor. He's solid. He's not amazing or anything, but he's a solid actor. We reviewed a movie. I think it was also an Oscar nom, with Lady Gaga. It was like The Stars Up Above Star Us or something. Stars Born, that's it. He was okay in that. The editing sucked in that movie. I think that's what kind of killed it, but his acting was good. So I don't know. I have a feeling it's definitely going to be an Oscar nominee, but it's just disappointing. The talent and everything in that film, and it just felt very cookie cutter Oscar nom that's going to easily get at least a Best Picture nom.
Yeah, it might not, though. Although the Academy loves a good kind of Hollywood-esque story, and Leonard Bernstein's a good candidate for that, to fill that role more than. And are there any Hollywood jerk-off movies that came off the past year that have a shot over that one? I can't think of any.
It's
going to
be
top
up there. Yeah, in that jerk-off category, I do agree. I know Poor Things has gotten quite a bit of, especially I think it won a couple Golden Globes last week, so it's probably going to receive possibly a Best Picture nom. Yeah, and I haven't watched, and that's actually one I'm kind of excited to watch. What did you not like about it?
It's too wacky. It deals with themes that just aren't super great. Like, they batter you over the head with the idea of this, empowering sexuality kind of thing with her character. It just deals with some touchy tones and storylines that I felt like were shocking just to be shocking. There's some good performances in it. There's some good characters, but in the end, I don't come away with much. And it's a movie where every man is bad.
Oh, bummer.
Every man is bad, Biggie.
Oh, man, that's a bummer. You know, all I've seen is just commercials for it, and it looked like kind of a fun, like, period piece take. Apparently, John Ruffio, whoever his name is, wore butt implants or something to make his butt look bigger. Like, that's kind of fun. But that's such a bummer that they're going the whole guys are bad route. It's just kind of, especially for period pieces. I get it. Guys were probably bad around then, but just, I don't know. It's a little overdone.
Yeah, it's not really a period piece. It's more a fantasy piece. It's It's fantastical. It's not, you know, they're dressed in a period, but the period never existed. The whole story is a woman who is pregnant commits suicide. She jumps off a bridge, and a Frankenstein-esque doctor experimenter finds her body, takes the pregnant baby out and puts the baby's brain inside the adult woman's body. And then this adult woman is now coming to life and coming of age again, but with a baby brain.
That is not what I expected.
Like, it's literally the first half an hour of the movie is Emma Stone talking like a baby.
Oh man, I don't know if I'm excited to watch this anymore. You may have saved me $15.
Yeah.
I think I might just wait for streaming on that. Well, I was thinking about going to see it in theaters, but yikes, I don't know about that now.
Well, I do have one final suggestion, and then we'll wrap up here.
Okay.
I watched a documentary that has been out for many decades. I think almost four decades. No, three decades. It came out in 1994. And it's a documentary that I've always heard about but never watched, and it's titled Hoop Dreams. You ever seen Hoop Dreams, Biggie?
I have not. I don't think I've ever heard of it before.
Oh, my gosh. Even if you're not a sports fan or a basketball fan, I suggest you go watch this movie. It follows the lives of two high school-aged basketball prospects that live in the inner city of Chicago, and they are not well off at all. And it follows them from their freshman year to the end of their senior year. And one of them, they actually both get recruited to a private school with the best basketball program in the state. Isaiah Thomas went there and graduated, and he became an NBA player. And their coach is renowned in the nation. And one of them becomes super good and leads the team. He starts in the varsity team his freshman year. He's super great. The other kid is also good, but he's not good enough that they don't want to spend the money on him. So they raise his tuition rates, and he has to leave the school because his family can't pay for it. But he goes to his public school again, joins that basketball team, and they continue to follow him as he goes up. And it just offers this slice of life into these kids' lives. And it's almost like it's written, like the things that happen to these kids, it goes year by year. So they start their sophomore year and you're like, what? That happened to this poor kid and his family this year? And, like, it has such a great arc to it, to both of their stories. And you see parts of their story. It's a parallel story, essentially. You're watching two different stories at once, but there's parts that intertwine. They arc past each other, and they, you know, embrace in a few episodes. And it's probably my new favorite documentary. It's epic in length. It's 3 hours and something minutes long because there's a lot to cover. But these kids are delivering these lines like they were written for them. And they're bright kids. They're smart. They're not the smartest kids, but they're saying this really profound things, and they don't even know it at the time. And they're just having this really reflective look at how the system has been treating them, all with the you know, the paintbrush of basketball thrown on it. It's so neat. It's such a neat documentary. It's a little hard to get into because it's old, and it's narrated like it's old. Documentaries nowadays are way more flashy. This just presents everything as it comes, but they lucked out with who they got because the stories are so entertaining, and you're just invested in these kids. It's so cool. Go watch Hoop Dreams.
Wow. Yes, I will definitely. That's big praise coming from you. That's something else. It sounds very fascinating. I will definitely check that out. Thank you for that recommendation.
Hey, you got it. All right. Biggie, what do you think? You happy with this?
Yeah, I think I am happy with this. It was very entertaining. Got to talk about all kinds of fascinating subjects. And hey, anyone listening, check us out. I think we usually do this on Sundays. I think Mondays actually worked out pretty well. So keep an eye out on the Discord, discord.gg/justokay. Yeah, we're just okay now. And set up that podcast tag and join in. Just hang out. I mean, we're chatting in the podcast chat channel on the stage, and just jump in, say a few words if you want. Say something on the chat and we'll talk about it here. And is the phone number still going? We should really ask for voicemails.
No, it's not.
It's gone? Not okay, well, hey, if you want to maybe share a thought of something you've heard and you know, you can't make it, maybe due to scheduling, that's totally understandable. Shoot us a little voice message over email, justokaygamers@gmail.com. We're here because we want to hear everyone talk with us. Just share anything.
Yeah. Should we give them like a call to action? What should we talk? Should we give them the topic now for the next episode? What's a good discussion thing that people could think about for a week and then come on?
Oh, man, that is such a good question.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
Let's see. Well, you know, no, I don't like that one.
He doesn't like that one.
I didn't like that one.
Have you ever gotten anything stolen from you? What was it? Have you ever stolen anything from anyone or a big corporation? What was it? How did that turn out? Did you get arrested? Did you get in trouble? How's that?
I love it. That's great. Everyone has stolen something. So please, just share. Even if it's something small, we don't care. Share it with us.
Make up something. Jeez. Talk about how you embezzled millions of dollars.
Sounds great.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. Bye.
See ya.